It's a Two Johnnies podcast. Two Johnnies podcast. Two Johnnies recording a podcast. Hello, hello, hello.
You're welcome to the Two Johnnies podcast, bringing you all the mayhem and news from the world of the Two Johnnies.
I'm Johnny B.
And I'm Johnny Smacks. Welcome to podcast 155, coming to you like Jack Nicholson in The Shining. Here's Johnny. On this week's podcast, we chat to the man who taught the public about farm machinery terminology thanks to his song Hit the Diff. We catch up with Marty Moan.
Hi. He claims that he can
late at night.
He claims he can fist the ball 40 yards and people used to come from all around to watch him fisting. Noel Furlong will be here with the news.
She wants to be Philomena Begley when she grows up. Maureen is here with her mystery topic.
And as traditional as your manager making you run laps for being late to training, even though your manager is your father and he drove you to training, we round off the podcast with our
Yurts and Dirts
of the Week.
Before commencing with proceedings, though, matters arising from last week's podcast.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Paddy's going to get us started. Bye, Paddy, bye.
Get off them steps.
Back in 2007, in the lovely innocent county of Tipperary. Just to give a bit of background, I was in college at the time and had managed to get tickets to the All-Ireland final between Cork and Kerry with a few of the lads. A right rip was planned after the final, but alas, it was not to be. Me owl boy rang me in the morning of the final, asking me to take Monday off college and do a run in the lorry for him from Cork on Monday morning, as one of the boys was off. Needless to say, I was raging, but I said I would. After the final, hung around for a while, but then decided to head back to Cork as I was delivering early Monday morning. Right, we're all on board with the story so far. On the way down, traffic was mental after the final. And as I was out on the Saturday night, I didn't get much sleep. I decided to pull in at the Horse and Jockey for the night, which is in Tip,
yeah,
and would go the rest of the way in the morning. I was sleeping away in the cab when about 1 a.m, this car horn started blowing. I convinced myself that it was just the DTs from Saturday night shenanigans at home in Monaghan. Then at 3 a.m, the same crack started again. Only this time I woke up and could see car lights shining through the front curtains of my lorry. I looked out the window and there was a lady who I'd say was about 40 in a relatively new Passat. She looked very legit and I thought, fuck, did I block someone's driveway when I parked up? So I quickly got dressed, went out to the woman and asked, am I blocking you getting in or what? She replied, do you want a blowjob?
Oh, Jesus, this is taking a sinister turn.
I was kind of stunned and replied, no, I'm all right for that. To which she just put up the window and sped off. I was standing at the side of the road wondering, did that just happen? I was woken up by it that much that I decided to drive on to Cork, figuring out what had just happened. That was all right, but the owl boy rang me the next morning and said to me, you had a visitor last night. I was like, how the hell do you know? But his mobile number was printed on the side of the lorry and your one rang him thinking she'd get whoever was sleeping inside the cab. Instead, she got the owl boy who was sleeping at home beside my mother and was asking him in a lovely tone, are you lonely in there? Off the side of the cab. I'd say she knows your father's number off by heart, lad.
My God. That's Chris.
Oh, bye, Paddy.
Almost scary. On last week's topic, boy bands, one listener got in touch and said, I once met Robbie Williams whilst working in the duty-free in Heathrow Airport, Terminal 1. And when I say met, I mean I kind of abused him the day before it was announced that he left Take That. We were stacking the shelves, and when I came out of the storeroom, two of my work buddies were staring down the shop floor when I joined them. And here was Mr. Williams walking towards the tills with 200 fags. When he got to the till, I called out, oi, look, it's the geezer from E17. He threw £50 on the counter, turned to me and shouted back, yeah, right. The next day, it was all over the news that he left Take That, and I was getting the blame from all my colleagues. But worse than that, the girl on the till got £27 tip for the change Robbie didn't want. She didn't even share it, the bitch.
Jesus, I wonder, did he intentionally leave her a tip or did he just want to get out of the shop as quickly as possible?
I'd say it was a combination of both. His fuck you was like, Look at me, I just left a £27 tip.
Yeah.
That's more than you get in an hour.
You bollocks. Sinead emailed saying, the podcast about boy bands reminded me of the time I met two members of a very famous Irish boy band. One night, myself and two of my friends were heading out and saw a few people on Snapchat had selfies up with the members of this band in one of the bars in town. I'm not going to name him because he doesn't come off the best. Ah, Sinead, will you come on and name
him? Come on, you can't tease us.
Which
like
you
that,
got this correspondence? Come on. We all got excited and decided we'd go to the bar so we could possibly meet him. We spotted him, plucked up the courage to go and ask him could we get a photo. We went up, told him about how much we loved the band and asked could we get a photo with him. And he said, fuck off. We stood there in shock for a second, unsure if he was joking or not, but he was being deadly serious. I understand he's probably been plagued the whole night by everyone in the bar, and that probably happens to him every night he goes out. But I don't think it was right of him to tell us to feck off when we were just trying to be nice. Not a great impression, to be honest. A few years later, I got a job in the customer service desk in a hardware shop in town. And this same boy band member came in one day wearing a baseball cap, sunglasses and a dark hoodie with the hood up over his cap. My colleague was serving him while I stood beside her sorting returns, and she started kicking me behind the desk to get my attention. I looked at him with the disguise on and had to try my best to hold in the laughter. And one of my colleagues saw my reaction. We were both trying so hard not to laugh, it even made it funnier. I thought the transaction was never going to end and I was going to burst from holding in the laughter. The funniest bit, no one was paying any heed to him whatsoever. He's from the town. He grew up there. No one cares that he was in the shop like. My colleagues also said he was very dry with her and didn't say thank you or anything. Few months after that, I served a different member of this boy band and had the complete opposite experience. He was very nice, chatted to me about the weather and all that shite, what shift I was on, very polite guy. He was so normal, I didn't even realise it was Keen Egan from Westlife until he walked away and another one of my colleagues asked me, did I realise that was Keen Egan? I was thinking, where do I know him from the whole time I was serving him? Just thought he was some regular customer by the way he was talking to me, so casual. I still can't believe how different the experiences were between the two members, and I still can't believe I didn't recognise Keen Egan either. Missed my chance to get a photo with him in a lovely work uniform.
Now,
so
I'm no detective.
Someone in Westlife is a prick.
Yeah, and it's one of the Sligo boys.
Yeah.
So Mark or Shane?
Yeah, but no,
it's not Nicky.
Probably not, because
do you know
he's
what?
In Dublin.
Yeah, McFadden, like, you know, he's
could be.
He's Dublin.
Oh, he's Dublin.
Yeah. So it has to be one of the Sligo boys. And it's not Keen Egan, so it's Shane or Mark.
No, I thought...
allegedly. Morgan, allegedly.
I thought that Mark lives in New York.
Sure, this could have been 20 years ago. Like.
But...
You were saying... Johnny said it's Shane.
I met a lad the last time I was in Sligo and he came up to me and said, Shane Filan, fucking sound.
Okay.
He specifically said it.
Okay.
I was like, he started saying he knew the Westlife boys and he was like, he's got the GAA background. And a young lad from Sligo got through a few rounds of Britain's Got Talent.
Right.
And Shane Filan looked after them, brought them over, got them to meet people. He was excellent.
Class. Okay. So
I need an anecdote about Mark real quick.
Okay. Well, Mark was a guest on the Saturday Night Show with Brandon O'Connor and he was very nice. So I was thinking it was the other lad. But anyway, like maybe that girl just caught him on a bad night.
Listen, let's just say it's McFadden. Right.
Okay. I was doing all tip songs and that. And then one time I was player manager of the Kerr Junior Bees and we had got beaten in a South Final. And just as the whistle went, I was sickened and a young lad came over and was like, can I get a photo? And I was like, would you go just fuck off there enough for a while? I'll get you in a minute. And about 4 years later, his mother came up to me on a night out and ate me. Ate me. So I've never refused a photo since then.
Yeah. I've never, ever refused a photo, ever.
Some man.
Yeah. Even in Babylon at 4 o'clock in the morning when I'm so hungry. I've still never heard of it. Man, I'd give anything to be like getting abused in Babylon right now.
More, throw him a bit of abuse there. Go on.
And a kebab. On fighting, Colin said, in the last episode, you mentioned getting your willy out just before a fight and the bouncers not being able to grab you.
Sorry. Yes, if you haven't heard that, go back.
Sorry. Well, I was on a night out when I was studying in UUJ in Belfast, and we went to a nightclub that was known for selling 90p drinks.
Wow.
So every Tuesday and Wednesday, you knew you were going to get in a state before pre-drinks even commenced.
What was it, like yacht bottles of Score?
Must have been, lad, yeah. Score and vodka.
TK lemonade.
One night, all the lads went out together. We were getting our groove on. And well, you know yourself, in a bar, when one of you needs a piss, the lads make an adventure out of it. Anyway, we got into the bathroom and had a piss. This place had a man sitting in the corner trying to sell the perfumes and lollipops to you. He would be coming out with the quotes, no Armani, no Punani, no Splash, no Gash, or we know them all by. So us thinking it might enhance our chances, threw him a couple of quid, got a lollipop and a couple of sprays of his finest Paco Rabanne. So we were on our way back to the dance floor, bopping away, and a scuffle kicked off with one of the lads. I was the biggest out of our friend group, and there was some pushing and shoving going on. So one of the smaller lads start pushing and then hides behind me. The other lad start shoving me because the little fucker was hiding. Whilst these lads were pushing each other, I was trying to peel open the lolly, and eventually it led to one lad trying to square off at me. When eventually we were about to go to blows, I got pushed again and choked on a bit of plastic wrapper from the lolly in the middle of the dance floor and was sick all over myself and all over the guy who was trying to start on us and his little crew. I mean, a complete projectile vomit, like a waterfall going off everywhere. All over his face, his shirt, his shoes, all them vodka Red Bulls and shots of apple sours all over this guy and his little entourage. Obviously, he took a couple of steps back and was like, what the fuck is going on? And it ended there and then. So in my book, we won that scrap.
By getting sick on him.
Because of the state of my shirt. Because of the state of my shirt, a funky white Hollister shirt, I thought it might be best if we went home and called it a night. On the way out, the bouncers who'd seen us from lots of previous weeks asked what happened. And being the little dick I am, I told him that someone was sick all over me and I don't know why he was still in there, and told him what he was wearing. So we get into the taxi after waiting a bit, and there we see the bouncer dragging this lad out the door and not allowing him back in. Double whammy. Double whammy.
Pure evil. On table tennis.
Oh yes, yes. The table tennis has been hotting up in Two Johnny's HQ this week.
We cleaned out the conservatory and we bought a table tennis table. And great,
it's
value.
It's up and running, and it's we are getting so good at it. It's scary.
Table tennis. Stuart said a few years back when I was 12, I was abroad with the family on summer holidays and was in this kids camp at the resort. Anyway, there was competitions every evening, crazy golf, basketball and all that, and I was cleaning up. I had all the competitions won since Monday, and I was going for the clean sweep on Friday at the final competition, which happened to be table tennis. All our names were put into a hat and you'd be drawn out to play whoever. My brother's name was out first of the hat, and he drew a girl who was about 6. He was 9, and your one could barely see over the table, so he was confident he was in with a shout. My name was drawn out shortly afterwards, and I was drawn against some Spanish lad. But when I looked around, I couldn't see him. So I went over to the table, and you wouldn't fucking believe it. The chap was in a wheelchair and appeared to have one functioning hand. The poor guy seemed really bad, and so I felt really bad. So we started the game, and I just nicely popped the ball over the net to him. Well, lads, no word of a lie. That lad sent a Scud missile back to me.
Go on yourself, but
1-0 to him. I shrugged it off and thought it was a fluke. Went again. Another bullet back at me. Fuck this, I thought. I'm not going to let this lad beat me. I'm not going on like this. So the next time I had the ball, I tapped it over the net to the side of the table. The lad couldn't reach, couldn't move his chair, and I was on the scoreboard. The score quickly got to 17-2 to me, and people were tutting and pretty much looking at me in disgust. I didn't give a fuck. This lad was 100 times better than me. I was just playing smart. That was until my mother came over, saw me hammering the lad in the wheelchair, and when he saw my mother, he did an extra lunge to try and get the ball and let out a whelp as if he'd hurt himself. 18-2 to me. I was motoring. My mother saw the score, saw what I was doing, saw that fucker in the chair was playing up. I got an awful earful off the mother. So I had to hit the ball to him. Back it came, a million miles an hour. Next thing I knew, the score was 18 all and my clear sweep was going up in smoke. Under my mother's glare, I tapped the ball over the net and I was 19-18 up. Cut a long story short, all the other matches were over. There seemed like hundreds at our table watching. I was hell-bent on winning. I tapped the ball over again. Crowd was not happy. Match point to me. Lad in the wheelchair with tears in his eyes. Next ball, I overhit it. The lad walloped it. Anyway, the bollocks went on to win the game. I saw him later that night in the kids' disco. I went over to congratulate him and he turned his back on me.
Oh.
Stuart said, nice guys finished second.
Stuart,
there were so many twists and turns in that story. I don't know where that was going.
It was on an absolute roller coaster.
Jesus.
Keane said, I went to the monastery in Ross Cray last year. That's a secondary school, a boarding school. There was a table.
He's not a monk. This is Keane, who was left Westlife and is now a monk.
There was a table tennis table there anyway, so all the lads gave it a good crack. The hurling hand-eye coordination came in handy. We had a good few foreign students that came over to learn Irish, and a decent few Chinese lads came over. While they were useless in corner forward in the hurling, they weren't so bad at table tennis. There was a young lad called Oliver who hailed from Beijing. He walked in and beat everyone without conceding a single point.
Jesus.
The county scouts couldn't believe what they'd seen. A prodigy in the making. He dominated the Irish school's ping pong tournaments with ease.
Ha ha! Oliver,
come on, Oliver, boy.
Where's the rest of that? No, he edited that out. That story went mental. Anyway.
What was the end of it?
I don't know. On the guards. We were talking about the guards a while ago. Anonymous guard, secret guard was in touch. Ooh, yeah,
we've got insiders.
Smacks said to let you know if the free into coppers thing is true. I can tell you it's 100% true. Obviously back pre-COVID. But we used to be able to go straight to the top of the queue, show the badge, even bring a non-guard friend in with us for free too. There's been rumours that we'd get a free drink once we go inside, but that's only bullshit. There you go, lads. Guards getting in free into one of Ireland's premier nightclubs. Johnny B brought up the commonly held rumour that if the Garda hat isn't on, it's not legally binding. This is complete bullshit as well.
I'm on Johnny, mate.
I'll leave you with a story. I was driving the patrol car one day in a particular part of Dublin. I was stopped at a large junction waiting for the filter light. I saw the traffic lights turn amber and then red. All traffic came to a halt, except for one bollocks coming against us in the opposite direction, who breezed on through the red light. As he drove by, I got a glimpse of the driver and thought he looked familiar. I swung the car around, ready to pull him in and give him a bollocking, but I wanted another look at him first. So I drove up alongside his car, and sure enough, the driver was a legendary hurling manager. I said to my colleague beside me, Jesus, that's... I'm not pulling him over. He'll probably eat the head off me. Which he got that? Who's the manager?
I know who the manager is. I didn't know
I know who
out.
The manager is. Yeah. No, Maureen, we can't say it, but...
He wears a hat.
Wished.
What? Andy Daly wore a hat. It's not Andy
wished.
Daly.
Wished. Oh, people, if they think hard enough, they'll probably guess who.
Liam Cal
allegedly
wears a hat, him.
Went through a red light. Okay.
He'll argue it was amber at the time.
he'll argue he didn't see the incident. Yeah. Right. Who's getting the Two Johnnies podcast mug sponsored by KC Sports, who carry all the lovely Two Johnnies merchandise, twojohnnies.ie for all that. Who are we going to give it to this week?
I think you're like
not Brian Cody
story.
Anyway.
Darth Vader.
I like the guy who called. No, I don't want to reward him for abusing Robbie Williams, to be honest.
Yeah.
The fella's in UUG who got someone else turned out of the nightclub. It's a bit underhanded, but it's also class.
I really like the Garrett story.
Yeah, Maura, who do you fancy for the mug?
I like Stuart's story of getting beaten by the lad in the wheelchair. I liked his competitive instincts there.
Yeah, so, and I liked that he also, yeah. Okay, Stuart, the ping pong guy.
Okay, yeah, that story was on the edge, man.
Yeah,
that story was on the edge.
You done well with that one, Stuart. So you can email podcast at twojohnnies.ie with all of your details, and we'll get the mug out as quick as is possible. Fair play, Stuart. Now the weekly roundup. What's been going on in Two Johnnies land this week, man?
It's trying our best.
It's been Groundhog Day.
Just trying to keep the head.
Keep the head, lad. Is right, yeah.
In good news, my dog hasn't shat in the kitchen all week.
That's good. he did piss, though.
Did he piss in the kitchen?
He shat in your back kitchen there the other day.
Ah, he was locked in for ages.
Yeah. Mm. Neglect, lad.
I was away.
You're neglecting him.
No, he's sound out now, so he is. He keeps trying to, like, get at the other dog's Mickey. Like, I swear to God, the big dog would be walking around, and then the small fella would come in and be like, oh, 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 and
trying to chew his Mickey.
Mm. Well, he's like biting him. This is very close to his Mickey. I'm hoping to breed him, like, so for that reason, I hope I haven't got a gay dog. Like, more power to the dog if that's what he's into, dogs. But, like, if he could just do me a couple of loads, he can happily go and
do what he wants after that.
Yeah.
Shag drain pipes after that, to be honest. Legs, the whole lot.
So that's that.
Yeah, you've been trying to train him, though. You've been regimental with him.
I have. I'd be strict with him.
Mm.
Yeah. It's training. Someday I might have children, so if I can,
yeah,
if I can get the dog.
Are you going to lock the kid in the back kitchen? Oh no! Child shat in the floor. Fucking hell! Come on! What are you going to call the child then? If you've called the dog Gujan, God help the child.
Pudding.
Roll.
Nugget. What ain't going on in your life, John?
No, not really, lad. The ping pong, like, hurt me back. Like, me back is, I strained me back working out. I'm trying to lock down. I've been following a regimental fitness regime.
Mm.
I've been doing Dry January a whole lot, and I've actually got a back strain at the moment, and it's constantly hurting me, and it's really hurting me now as we sit down in the one spot to do the podcast.
Okay.
So that's why during one of the correspondents there, I was trying to do a glute stretch
on
the ground. So it's really annoying. But that's about all that's been going on. That and ping pong. I still have been able to beat you even with a back injury. So I'm hoping when I get back to full fitness, it'll just be an onslaught. But I'm like,
I'd never played ping pong before this. Like, you know, this is, I went out on a limb when you said
you're a liar. You definitely played it before.
Never played it.
Where would I play ping pong?
We
went all days.
You've done skateboarding and rollerblading. You surely chanced your arm at ping pong.
Didn't have
when you were going through your little emo phase there when you were younger. All you Metallica fans are probably class of ping pong.
I hated emo, you know that.
Okay, right. You're a heavy metaler.
Yeah.
Were you into ping pong?
Don't think heavy metalers are big into ping pong.
No. A lot of lads in ponytails and new rock boots. Just new rock boots would not be ideal for table tennis.
You couldn't play that.
No, you're just too unbalanced.
You're not allowed to wear them going bowling either. We had a big reaction to people, to Tommy Tiernan on the podcast.
Yeah,
two episodes ago, if you haven't heard that. One comment I'd make that Tommy's show is on Saturday nights now in Ireland, and it's going brilliant.
Mm.
And people are like, he should host The Late Late. Just to say, very different show.
Ah, yeah.
And The Late Late show is live.
Mm.
I don't know if people know that Tommy's show, he can have a chat with somebody for like an hour, and they edit it down.
Yeah.
So it's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah.
They found
it's totally
a
different show
that works for Tommy.
Mm,
so let him do it.
Yeah.
Stop trying to like... Yeah, put him in somewhere.
His thing's class. He doesn't need to do Late. He's got his own show, and his name's on it. The Tommy Tiernan Show. That's what you want.
Yeah, there you go.
Do you know what I mean? Tommy was a great guest. I fangirl the shit out of him as well.
A little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't care. I was very nervous. Thank God we didn't have to meet him in person. I would have just fucking fell down. I'm like, I adore you, Tommy. I would have been like cleaning his shoes as he sat down. He's a legend. I don't care. Thanks a million as well to... Oh, sorry. Our TV show's back on telly.
Yeah.
And it's still doing massive ratings, which is crazy.
Didn't even tell us it was going to be on.
Yeah, so like last Thursday night, I was sitting down and then like my Instagram was going off and Twitter and stuff like that. I was like, what the f-? And then I was like, oh, jeez. I was flicking through channels. I was like, episode one's on. And then like obviously last night I threw up an old Instagram about just to let people know. And people are still enjoying it. Last night was the episode where I fell on my arse rollerblading.
Hey.
I always know. That's how I know it's on telly. I get loads of views. But if you want to watch it, it's still on the RTE player and it's on Thursday night. Episode 3 is on next Thursday night at, I think it's 10:20.
Two Johnnies Do America.
Yeah, it's a good show. And thanks a million to everyone who signed up to the Extra podcast.
Tune in and watch us shake hands with people.
Yeah, and hug people.
Yeah.
And it's sunny.
Oh,
it's just everything you don't have in your life. Tune in. I will get this. Thanks to everyone who signed up to the Extra Podcast. It's available on Patreon, €6 a month. On last week's Extra Podcast, number 45 on our...
As well as debating, are we men?
Yeah, we had a heavy debate on if we are classified as men. And we also threw some ones to Maura, who said Paul Mescal
is a man
and Ryan Gosling isn't.
Yeah.
Mm.
There you go,
yeah.
Maura. Mm. Prepare for your DMs to be petrobombed.
Yeah, no, I've already gotten a fair bit of abuse for it already. So good. Even like my boyfriend was like, Paul Mescal's a man, what? I was like, yeah, go buy some GA shorts, sweetheart.
We also chatted to Jim Wilson, who brings tourists to the Arctic, and he told us about his experience of being chased by a polar bear. It's mad.
I take a lot of photographs of the wildlife, usually as part of my job as well, because we give them a kind of a show at the end of the best shots. And I'm clicking away, you know, flowers on the ground, you know, all this. I don't have a gun for this one. The others had guns. Clicking away, mad. Next thing I look up and there's a female polar bear and her cub. And she's less than 100 feet from me. You know, their paw is about almost from the tips of your fingers to your elbow, and they've got claws longer as long as your fingers. And then you learn they can sprint at 40 kilometers an hour. Now, I don't know, I'm sure some of the Tipperary hurling team will probably boast that they do that on a training session, you know, before dinner. No, 40 kilometers an hour is like world class sprinter. So I start shouting and screaming. I have my radio, we all have radios, and I'm going, bear, 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 and I'm starting to run. You know, Jesus might have been the one that walked on water first, but there was a few ponds, I think, between me and the boat that I'm sure I just walked across because I don't remember touching the ground even.
Before we introduce you to our next guest, you've heard us mention him before.
Yeah.
He's a singer. And when I pulled a friend of mine aside once who's a very successful producer, he's worked with a lot of top Irish bands, and I showed him Hit the Diff, a song about tractors, and he said, what is it? I don't understand any of this, and why does it have 10 million views? So this is completely lost on some people, and this is part of the reason. There's no point in the two of us trying to explain the culture of farming and country books to people. Yeah. We've got a genuine man on to do it here.
Yeah, so our guest this week is a man who loves driving tractors, trucking and playing the guitar. His viral song Hit the Diff has made him a household name, ladies and gentlemen. He also sells merchandise such as lights late at night. Give it up for the one and only Mr. Marty Moan.
Well, Marty, thanks for coming on to Johnny's podcast. Bye, fair play to you.
I don't bother, and thanks for having me on, lads. It's great to be on, fair play to you.
I have to say, we're just going to get straight to it. The song that launched you, Hit the Diff, was an absolute phenomenon. Like on the internet, in the live venues, there seems to be no song like it. A lot of people have tried to replicate it since. Can you tell us, where did that song come from?
That song came, it started off with "Give me a yoke or plenty of poke" in me mind, right? And
you dirty article.
I know, exactly. the whole song, unknown to me, was well, sometimes you're like, okay, Jesus, is that safe? But yeah, there's a lot of words in the song that's kind of, where's this going exactly, you know? But it was "Give me a yoke or plenty of poke," and I had this image like of a diesel 20 like coming out with a 2000 gallon tank or something, you know what I mean? This video, you know. So just with this image, I was on the machines, the digger or the tractor or something, a lorry or whatever, and I'd be thinking like, right, get this, like, and I could just picture it in my mind, you know, this show coming out the lane, like, you know, out some road, wee road.
Yeah.
And I was like, this would be a serious bit of crack around here for the lads, you know, just a bit of crack for a couple of days, you know. And I was in bands and writing songs as years, but
yeah.
I actually did this for let's get to the bottom of the crack here. Let's put out a song that maybe is something got there. But that
lane, you were working as a contractor, driving. You were actually driving. Yeah.
So then I come up with the idea of this song, Mowing, Lifting, Sowing, Bailing. It was kind of like a wee rap thing, you know. I was like, geez, that's good. I like that. And then it was like, oh, Hit the Diff and Pray, She Goes All the Way. And I was like, Jesus, that's free. That's double main in there now, you know. But I says, you know, what the hell. And so I says, but I like it, you know, I like it. And so then I decided, you know what? Them's two, which song am I going to go with here? So I was building a studio at the time, the wee studio in the house, like, and I was like, I wonder if I could put the two together. So I says, how is this going to work? It's not really country music, or it's not really, I don't know what kind of music this is, I says, but I'll try to put the two together. And I did then. I eventually got the two together. And as the song progressed, I started to put all these, you know, all these different lyrics into it and all, and not really thinking, you know, sending Snapchats and all, but people love that. Like, people were saying to me, you know, even putting the word sending Snapchats, not too many songs about that, you know, stuff like this.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding you, I put it up, but I recorded it three times and I was recording all night and working during the day, and I was like, you know, this song, I sort of knew there was something inside me going, do it. And the other part of me was going, Marty, quit. Stop. Don't put this out. You have a bit of a following. I says, a wee small following. I says, don't put this out, you know. So
why? Because it was about tractors.
Yeah, it was like, you know, how will people put, like, somebody said one of them, never put a song out that you're not going to, that you're not going to mind singing 20 years' time, you know. But because I'm a tractor driver, like, I could talk about tractors all day because I grew up fixing and working at them. So I'm not, I love it. Like, I've got a wee tractor here myself. I've got the truck. I love it, you know. But I says, I like this kind of thing. I says, and I put it up. I took all the videos. So if you actually look closely at the video, you'll see me as a 10-year-old or a 15-year-old driving the tractors in the video. If you look close enough, you'll actually see, I'm up filling, they're called Orsha's, 1224 Orsha tractors. And I'm up, and there's one picture of my uncle roaring in the window at me with the whole glass all broke. The glass is all broken, the side of the tractor. And he's telling me, you be back here, you know, if it was going to load of sailors or something. You be back here, you tighten up, you know what I mean? And so if you actually look close enough, and I put it up on YouTube and I went into bed, I actually went into a cold sweat. And I reckon that's actually a signal that you could be onto something good, that when you actually fear it so much that you're like, I reckon that's what really tests people that write songs and all. It's like, don't be afraid of it. Put it out and test it. And I remember I went to bed and I says, what am I after doing? Because the internet was so bad, the house at the time, that I had to put it uploading all night, you know? It went up the next morning and I shared it to another fella I worked with and another lad, and that was it. Went to work on the digger all day, come home that night, and at the time I can't remember, it was thousands of views on it anyway, and I never really thought much of it. I says, Jesus, this is, and it just started to roll. And I'm not kidding you, that was the wildest year. You know, people saw me, your life can change. I didn't understand the power of the internet, you know, so.
Yeah.
So
I think people who aren't involved in that kind of country life, or who aren't driving tractors or trucks, whatever, wouldn't understand how big a deal it is and how much fellas just fucking love farming, and they love driving tractors. Like you're saying, it's like an All-Ireland to them.
Ah, like an All-Ireland. So if you actually picture an All-Ireland, right, into extra time, 1 minute to go, and the main man of the team's at the far end of the field and he's coming straight down the centre. The crowd stand up, the mouth open. Will he make it? Will he not? Right? And next thing he comes down to, three things could happen here. He could hit the crossbar, which is like pretty much making it but not making it, miss or score. So if you actually think of it, coming to the town, like you're maybe, you should be in school, but you're not in school and you're out driving and you're pulling, like I say, a 15-ton digger and you're heading to town. Now, on Snapchat, you're after seeing that maybe some girl, you had a bit of a fancy and, you know, man, just in town with the mother and a couple of lads are in town and you're coming towards the town. Now, you're driving 150, maybe 200 horsepower tractor, 15-ton digger. So here's the rules. Two doors wide open, sunroof open, shades on. When you're coming to the end of the town, you have to slack a wee bit. You have to give them a signal you're coming. You know, I mean, you're on the way, you're coming through the town. So two things can happen here. If it goes well, you're going to be the man. Like, if you don't miss a gear, you're going to be the man. Black smoke and noise. But now, in the town, it's the perfect acoustics for big, loud engines. Like, so the thing about Hit the Diff is it's really passionate to, like, if you ever seen tractor pulling, like, they actually build engines so big that they just blow up. So, it's the kind of the same thing. And so you're going up that town, you're changing down them gears, down another gear, and everybody's just waiting. Is he going to make it? Is he going to? You're going up the town. And if you get across that hill, then the second part happened, which is changing up the gears. Ah, and that's the showpiece. Down to showpiece. Because if you're going up the gears, is easier. There's less chance you're missing. But if you miss that gear and you hear that big grind of the gearbox, can't go back to town. Can't go to the lads for a week. Like, it's like missing that All-Ireland pint, you know. It's like, you miss it, just go home, shut the door and forget about it, you know. Now, and most girls, you know, years ago, they'd be saying, oh, you're some bollocks, you know what I mean? Like, showing off, you know what I mean? But behind it all, they could love it, like, you know, they could love it.
there's fucking farmers listening to this now, just fucking salivating, like, this is just porn to them.
Like, about time you had someone decent on. Yeah. you still drive to the gigs in your own truck.
Yeah, yeah. So I bought a 580 and I used to drive trucks and I rape it, you know, and I just took this notion because we're gigging a lot around England that, and I've done the whole mad cycle, because this is mad, because it's a 580, right? So in truck terms, for what I'm doing, I'm hauling T-shirts, like, you know what I mean? You do not need a 580. But So I'm hauling T-shirts and guitars, like, but if you went to a show and the young ones would come over to you, like, I seen one day, this wee young lad come over, he hit the kick, hit the lorry a kick, he says, you know, so when I got the truck, I put these big side pipes on it. So there's a switch inside the lorry. So if you're coming to the checkpoint, you hit the switch and it goes back to the normal exhaust. So it's all quiet and nice and thing. And you get past the checkpoint, you're coming to the show, you hit the switch, there's this hit switch in the lorry and it puts it to the side pipes, which is the big noise. That's back to the showpiece, the show switch, I call it. So the young ones would come up to you, like, and they'd go in and they'd look in under the cab, make sure it was the 580 engine's a V engine, and they double checked it. You're not didn't stick that badge on, like, tell lies, like, you have to have the right kit, like, you know. So the youngest said, they hit the lorry a kick and they say, what are you doing with them sick side pipes, you know? So you had to show them around and show them the whole system and keep them happy, the young ones. So if I had bought anything smaller, the young ones just would have, no, you have to. So it's back to power. That's actually what hit the diffs about, power, speed, you know. It's like, you know, That's really what hit the diffs about, you know. Yeah.
So not only, Marty, when you're doing a show, you rock up, you give people, you know, a great show music-wise, they also get a fucking truck show as well. You can show around the truck the whole lot.
And
all in one. The greatest showman, but...
Yeah.
And when you're gigging in, do you sleep in the truck?
Yeah, so it's kind of funny, like, because there's a lot of times in the truck thing that I wouldn't, you know, because I was working with uncles, I was doing all kinds of work. So one day I was talking to this lad and he says, you know, oh yeah, you drive the truck. I goes, yeah, and we sleep in the same hotels. Oh, you're acting the cowboy, he says. I goes, acting the what? He says, oh, acting the cowboy, you're laying out in the truck. So this is what they call it, acting the cowboy, yeah. So, so it's great. If you're in England, it's great, the travel lodges and all, or anywhere, even in Ireland here. So you pull into, like, Apple Green here in Ireland and just, yeah, sleep in the truck. There's a night heater in it, and you have the fridge in it, and where are we going? Yeah,
we'll have to get ourselves a truck.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You were telling me before about the time somebody went to get T-shirts made for Hit the Diff.
Yeah, so Hit the Diff is such a, there's an awful lot to it. Even though I wrote it, there was more in it than I even realized. You know, like, Hope She Goes All the Way, yeah, sort of said, well, you could take that two ways. But the word, tail doors flapping, that's the word in the song, you know, tail doors flapping. But there was a fella, and he says, I'm going to get a locket. He was a CD shop. He says, I'm going to print a locket T-shirts. And I didn't really know about this, but he rung me and he says, listen, Marty, I was getting a locket T-shirts printed. And he says, I went to the printer with the lyrics, and it says, print that in the back of the T-shirt. And the printer says, double check that them's right. I'm not printing that to you, double check. So he come to me, says, is the word word dildos flapping right? Goes, no, don't be putting that in the T-shirt. So he thought it was dildos flapping. And I do know bands that actually were singing in the bar, oh, dildos flapping, you know me, man.
Dildos flapping.
So you have Grazing Nipples, Hope She Goes All the Way, dildos flapping. So when you actually think of it, when you actually think about the song, like, it's completely going two separate roads, like, you know, it's both sides of the motorway.
But yeah, it's guess because you're proper a country man, and sometimes we reckon when we're like, your music's not like classic country music. It's kind of, you're doing your own thing. It's rock, it's folk, it's country.
Yeah,
but
we
watch some country artists, and we kind of think they're spoofing a small bit now,
hamming it up. I would say, yeah, like yours.
Yeah. Some people, they miss that, just what I'm after explaining, the power end of it, they miss the passion end of it. They don't really get that the songs, like any songs I write about this, the truck songs of that. Yeah, they sort of think, oh, there's a great community here for this. Let's just write a farming song and, you know, and they sort of stand in front of a tractor dancing while they sing. But if you notice in my videos, I don't actually show, when it comes to the hardcore videos, you don't really see me too much in them. They don't want to see me, you know what I mean? That's what an awful lot of people, they want to see power, engine, smoke. They want to see action, you know? And the song itself has to be spoke about action. It has to be spoke like as if you're like, you know, John Wayne, you know what I mean? You know? So that's the thing. There's a lot of singers that when I looked into the background, I was very impressed. I'd done a cover of a John Party song, That Door to My Boots, the only cover ever released, and I put it out. I says, I like this, you know, it's a bit Door to Your Boots. That's even it shows jumping into the lorry. It's all just the way I am because I actually seen a video there lately that he's actually was doing an advertisement for tractors and diggers for a company in America. And I was impressed. I goes, I thought when I heard him singing the first, oh, he probably doesn't even know what it, but no, he's actually a digger driver, and he comes from that background, you know.
He's legit, yeah.
And as soon as I seen that, I was more, fair play to him. Now you know what I mean? Fair play to him. Like, yeah. So now it gave me an understand how people think of me. It's a wee bit like, he sings about it, but he understands it. So I actually got a first-hand experience of the opposite end of that with John Pardy. No, he was like, oh yeah, this is a great machine and this is this kind of power and this, and he was like, driving them all, and he could drive. And I was like, okay, fair play to him. Like, that's, he, you know, so I just thought he just did the song, you know, for the crack, like, you know. But so it's cool.
He did it, and a lot of other, so your other songs have got millions of views, but like, hitting that first million is a fair old milestone. Did you mark it in any way?
Yeah. So Micheál, the fella I work with, Micheál Bide, and tipping about, and I says, will it make the million? And next thing, it never lost. We knew it was going to do it because it just wouldn't lost traction. It was flying. So I says, it hits a million, I'm going to go. I don't really drink that often, you know, because I was always on the road working 7 days a week. And so I says, I'm going to go on the drink. And we're playing in the band that night. And and next thing, didn't it hit the million? It actually hit the million just that night before the gig. And so that was it. There was pictures. We went on the it was unreal. The crack. It was like a real celebration, you know. But yeah. When the second song, Slip the Clutch, it's doing equally as well as Hit the Diff. But
yeah.
I'm going to be known as the Hit the Diff man. That's it. Like, it doesn't
matter. You never know what's to come next, boy. You'd have to write a song about dildos flapping now.
Yeah. Actually put it in. Oh, listen. Oh, exactly. And but yeah, that's the thing. So, but the second
Hit the Clit.
Hit the Dick.
But you were saying that it's gas that, like, as big as your songs get, like, you hardly ever hear them on mainstream radio.
No, not really. Radio's, when I started to realise, you know, with like radio monitor stuff and all that, we can, you know, you can check some of yourselves, you can check, you know, and you go on that crack, you know, to crack yourselves. But what I've started to realise is, when I look back to all the songs and I look at, it's the fans, you know, and that's why, you know, I want to give a big shout out to all the fans and thank them, you know, because the fans is somebody said to me one time, you've bypassed the radios. But Hit the Diff has been played on a lot of big mainstream radios because the fans and the crack of it, you know, when they put big pop songs up again, it sometimes Hit the Diff wins, you know, and that has happened a lot of times. So it always gets mainstream radio a nod to him, but it'll never be.
Playlist.
It'll not be in playlist. But I noticed that with the streaming platforms now, once you have the fans, you know, that's the new radio. Like, the fans are brilliant. They just keep it rolling, you know. So, and then a lot of girls likes the song because it reminds them of their grandest farm or whatever. Sometimes they'll say, oh, I work in a big office in Dublin, but it reminds me when I was, you know, 10 years of age in my grandest farm, you know. So the songs, I didn't realise at the time, but it has a connection to everybody, you know. So.
Yeah, because you have a line in it about your man, I didn't see the woman since Christmas. I told the woman, what's the line about?
I did.
It'd
be Christmas before I'm back in touch. So most women will say to me, oh, she says, when I hear that line, they'd say, oh, the frigger went away last week on the lorry and it didn't come back. He's not back yet. She says, you know, they're giving out to you. You know, they go away. And so the women really, really can understand the song because of them lines, you know. So
it's nearly a way of life. But I think the good thing we have, and you said it there, like, if someone's working in the fancy office in Dublin, but they're from the country.
Yes,
I think they love that bit of, like, well, I'm from the country, really. You know what I mean? Yeah, I might be wearing a suit, but fuck it, I'm from the country. Yeah. Like.
Exactly. There is a thing about that. And even people from all over the world, even just being Ireland, Irish country, you know.
Yeah.
It's a thing about being Irish and being from the country. You know, there's this thing, you know, I was born in that, or my great-grandson was born in that, you know, cottage or whatever, you know. So, yeah, I think there's something about that at the back of Hit the Diff, somebody would say, oh, I hate that song. Few pints, stand at the bar. Next thing, the song comes on, and it doesn't matter if they like it or don't like. They might think they hate it, but when it comes on, it's like, oh, you know, paint up in there. Yeah. And, you know,
we've been in Australia, and then someone, like, you can hear people shouting up and like, play Hit the Diff.
How?
Like, there's only two of us.
But people don't understand. Like, lads love farming and love talking about farming. I worked fucking 18 hours and he'd say, oh, Jesus, I worked 19 hours. Like, you know?
Exactly. So at the bar, sometimes at the weddings, you'll see that the women all sit at the table down here talking and chatting, and the fellas at the bar, and one girl will go up and get a drink, and she come back there and say, well, how's the lads up there? And say, oh, there's about 15 pits of silage in, 20 round bales through, you know. So they're at the bar saying, well, I put in, we were doing six pits a day. Another by, I only done one pit. You know, it's that's at the bar, and the drunker they get, the more vexed they get. You know, so to start off all nice talking and having, oh, yeah, oh, just a great outfit you have there. But at the end of the night, oh, your outfit's shite. Like, you know, it's like, you know, So that's really like...
They should have Olympics for farming.
Yes, exactly.
One more, exactly. Marty. Can we ask you about your quite unique merchandise that you released?
Merchandise? Do I know about this? What is
we've,
it?
But we've got it.
You sent this down. You released like lights. You had Marty Moan torches.
Oh, the lights. The famous light. I like it.
Where did you come up with the idea for a mechanic's light?
The light is only famous because of you lads, I'll tell you. It's class.
We love the ad you did for it.
Oh, come here. And when I look back at it, you know, I keep looking up these how to promote stuff better. And, you know, the printer. When I think about it, where was I going looking inside a printer? Because I don't know one thing about inside a printer. Why would you look inside a printer?
Well, if anybody wants to buy their own Marty Moan light, where can they get one?
Oh, at www.martymoanmusic.com. Yeah, the merch, there you go. The shop. Yeah, so the shop is flat out straight through the lockdown. So yeah, we're keeping it going. So
I was doing a thing on Snapchat once. I bought a copy of a trucking magazine. I was just looking at it, like,
yeah.
And the amount of people that message me going, "Don't start getting into trucking. You fucking don't know anything about it now. Stop."
But that's it. Oh, you have to understand it. And like, people will come up to you, and, you know, people will say to you, "What do you think of such a tractor?" You know, and yeah. I would say it's such a John Deere, and I'd say, "No, I like the 3650, the older type, better." And once you say that, they know what you're talking about. They're like, they can actually see their blood pressure going down. You know. It's like, okay, he knows what he's talking about, you know. So if you said, "Geez, I know nothing about tractors," they'd flip and to go mad.
And the internet is better now in Castle Blaney than it was all those years ago.
Yeah, well, all them years ago, I can actually upload a video in about 5 minutes now. I used to have to set it up and plug it into all the wires in from the wall, and all used to be wire cracked.
come back in a week, see if it's cooked.
Yes, exactly. Yeah,
Marty would have drove to Barcelona and back with a load of stuff. Video would be uploaded.
Yeah, definitely.
So, look, Marty, thanks so much for coming on. We really appreciate it. And best of luck with the new single. It's going to be out soon. And your Instagram is great. We follow you and your music. Best of luck, man.
No bother. And thanks, lads. And big shout out, as I said, to all the fans. Really appreciate it. Thank you all very much. And yeah, thanks for having me on, lads. Thank you.
Right, when he gets his COVID vaccine, he's rounding up Dan Bryan and Paddy Fong, and they're going breaking into the Shamrock Lounge. It's time for Noel Furlong, and it's time for Noel's News.
Noel's News! It's Noel's News!
I'm young for that.
Well, Noel.
The Tipperary Hurlers.
Yes.
Have named their training panel.
Yes.
Once again, they have not called in John Paul.
Oh, no. Are we back to this?
That is 8 years in a row now. He went for trials when he was 17.
Yeah.
Cleaned up.
Did he?
He was catching balls. He was firing them over the bar. He was bursting lads. When he went up for a poke out, no one else could get near him. And then they said he couldn't play under 14. As far as they were saying, he shouldn't have even been at the trial. Talking about bias.
What is
a fucking joke.
What age is he?
He was 17. I said, come on, we go next door. The under 16 is on, right? So he would just join in the game.
Okay.
Get on the ball straight away and stick it over the bar. Well, see, there'd be no one marking him.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't be wearing the jersey of either team.
Okay, what would he be wearing?
Well, he'd stand out. He'd stand out then, you know. And then I'd go over behind the selectors and I'd say, "Jez, who's the lad in the Guns N' Roses t-shirt?" He's fucking class, right? You know? He'll have to make your panel, that fella. You know, I'd be on like this, like.
Yeah, yeah.
He got thrown out for fighting after the match. Mm. After the trial match. Well, he went to swap jerseys with the centre back, who wasn't a fan of Guns N' Roses. Yeah. John Paul pulled the head off many of us. So once again, he's not called in. Now, I have a bit of news.
Okay.
News. You know I always pay my tax.
Yes.
Badum pish, I think is the expression I'm looking for. I'd never hide money.
No.
Well, I'd rather eat it than fucking give it a shower, right? One man who took this to the next level, he's in the news again. Former Nigerian dictator Sani Abacha. I'm sure you know you knew him well.
Yeah, yeah.
He had the army lads with him. So he did a coup. He did a military coup.
Yeah.
A coup. Back in 93. And he was president for about 5 years, right? Now, if a fella's working hard, he needs to be paid. And I've done a few church gate collections in my day.
Yeah.
And I've seen fellas skimming. Right? I've done them all. Money for the blind dogs.
No, I don't.
I don't know, did they buy them little sunglasses or what? We got them a few pounds anyway.
I did not care for
creators. Little creators, huh? God love them. We got him a few pounds, anyway, right? We'll sort him out. You heard of the charity? You heard of the charity Goal? Yeah?
Yeah.
You know Goal?
Yeah.
Well, there's also one called Pint. It's a counselling service for lads who are shit at football. I've done them all the churchgate collections over the years. Child lino for children who need lino. Got him a few pounds. The shed cross for people whose sheds are fucked. But I fell out with the Asthma Society.
Why?
Well, they wouldn't let me join.
Why?
I went to one of the meetings they gave out to me for smoking. I said your society is shit anyway. I thought the golf club crowd were bad. At least they have a bar. Huh? But this fella in Nigeria, he was skimming the whole time.
Okay.
The state money. In 5 years, he stroked about $3 billion.
Whoa, that's a lot of money.
Of taxpayers' money. Now, obviously, that wouldn't affect the like of me now, but...
Blind dogs.
But it is a bit much, right? So, fellas who worked with him... said he'd send his men over to the central bank and they would get money by the truckload, a lorry of money.
Wow.
And he'd say, oh, security reasons, it's not safe in the bank. I'll mind that.
Oh, classic.
Isn't that awful? Like in Ireland, we didn't pay our politicians enough. Sure, there was a minister for finance, he didn't even have a bank account. Man must have been living week to week. Look at the crowd that's in there now. Your man at the Green Party falling asleep.
Yeah.
And if I had to listen to Michal and Leo, no, I'd be in a fucking coma as well. Right? You can't fall asleep on the job.
No, that's true.
I did it once. I fell asleep. They went fucking ballistic. Yeah. They wouldn't let me drive the bus ever again. But the news about this Nigerian fella. They hired a Swedish solicitor to get the money back, right? And he reckon he have the most of it now. The bill, couple of billion. What are you laughing at?
I'm still laughing at the guy.
Come on, straighten up. He reckons he has most of the money he got. But a lot of the countries who had money in like Swiss bank accounts and, you know, German bank accounts and all this. And they were like, we're not giving you the money back. It'll only be fucking robbed again. Right? Played riddled a lot of corruption, these things will be going on. So they've reached an agreement now and they have most of the money back. There's just 30 million in England. And he said he must collect 144 million out of France. Handy money, huh?
Handy money.
But apparently your man... His family were well looked after anyway. I wouldn't like to see anyone stuck because he died sudden, the former dictator of Nigeria, right? Okay. I'm sure you know all this anyhow, but...
I don't.
There was no post-mortem done, so it is possible that there was foul play. And I don't mean taking 5 steps to the ball. It wasn't 2 hops in a row
yeah.
or a quick free. He was possibly murdered.
Okay, all right. All very serious.
Serious stuff. But it did remind me of the first time I ever went training with the senior team.
Okay.
Foul play.
Okay, okay.
Did I ever tell you this one? No.
No, go on.
Right, so my first time going down training with the senior team, I went into the dressing room and the father told me to lay down a marker. Lay down a marker. But I only had a crayon. So I wrote my name on the bench anyway. No. I was only about 14. And I tell you, the fellow beside me took off his underpants. He said he never wore underpants at training. He'd only the one pair and he'd save it for matches, right?
Okay.
Fair enough, says I, right? But I was only a boy. He had a Mickey. It was like a sock full of coins. Swear to God. I thought it was going to bite me, right? When he was driving the lorry, he's able to flick on the indicator with. That's a fact. That's a fact. Out in the field, anyway. Bit of striking. Left. Right. I'd be tasty, you know. No warm up. As I often said to you, I never warm up.
Yeah.
Did you ever see a horse warm up for a Grand National?
Okay, true, true.
Straight into a game. I was marking one of the Burkeens. Do you know the Burkeens?
No.
The small Burks.
Very good.
All the Burkeens. So ice is grand, is that he not too big now. My first time down there, I was young, you know. Well, the first ball came in and he hit me. Jesus, I was subconscious. First time in my life.
Subconscious.
I was flat out subconscious.
Are you sure?
I must have been out cold. I was subconscious for about 10 minutes. And when I woke up, it was a free against me. I said, I'm going to have to do something here. Next ball came in. I surely wore the hurley across his shin. Down went Burkeen. Whistle blew. I said, ref, I pulled on the ball. He said, why didn't you hit it? Fair enough. Burkeen got up off the ground. And he said, hey, young fella, that's enough foreplay. Let's get it on.
Oh.
I said, look, I don't know what foreplay is. But if it's that like hurling, you can fucking sing it. We duked it out anyhow, there and then.
Did he?
We had a blue.
He had a blue?
A blue.
What's a blue?
A row.
Okay.
I was only 14.
Wow.
Against a 40-year-old man. Well, it was the best baiting I ever got. I was nearly proud of him. I swear to God. And wouldn't you know it, that winter, he retired from playing, and I never got him back.
Oh, Jenny.
So, it must have been 9 years later, Burkeen Jr., his son, was of age, and he came down to train with us at the senior team. Well, first ball that came in, I had him subconscious.
Oh, no.
Bang.
Shake him off.
Shake him up. Drive it.
You sure it's not unconscious?
I've fucking left it off. That's what it is. I was doing it unconsciously, yeah.
Oh, okay. But you left him subconscious. Thanks. Right. Thanks a million.
And support your local charities.
Yeah, especially the blind dogs.
Yeah. Poor little craters.
She was 21 before she realised people said for all intents and purposes and not for all intensive purposes. I'm 29 and I've just realised that right now.
Intents.
I did not know that. I thought it was like for all intensive purposes.
All intents.
Wow, we haven't even got into the mystery topic and we're already mind blown. Mara, what is your mystery topic this week?
My mystery topic this week is about sports managers and coaches and your thoughts on what makes a really good sports manager and a really bad manager. So I was watching UFC 257 last weekend and it was really interesting. So you know in MMA that they put a camera in on the coach between rounds and you can listen in on what he's telling his fighter. So there were some coaches yelling in their fighter's face, like really aggressive, saying, you need to get in there, you need to blah blah blah. And then there was one coach that I was really impressed with. He brought his fighter in, sat him down in the stool. He said, before you say anything, take three deep breaths. So the fighter took three deep breaths. And then he goes, what's 2 + 3? And the fighter answered 5. So he was getting his fighter to slow his heart rate down, and secondly, making sure that his fighter wasn't, you know, concussed or, yeah, you know, anything like that. And then he gave him 2 or 3 clear instructions on what he needed to do. And then, you know, it's a minute between rounds, so it was a sip of water back in there. And I just thought that was such a better approach than yelling in a guy's face, because, like, the last thing you need is extra aggression. You need to be kind of focused on that. So, interestingly, the Olympic Committee, the International Olympic Committee, have compiled a list of 10 great qualities that you need to be, or 10 qualities that you need to be a great sports coach. So number one is that you have to understand and lead by example. Number two, be a sponge for knowledge. 3, you share that knowledge, you educate others. 4, be highly energized and a motivator. 5, you have to know your athlete and respect that relationship. 6, be a good teacher. 7, be a good listener. 8, be disciplined. And then 9, lead by example in that you have a very high attitude to hard work. And then 10, commitment and passion for the sport. So I'm wondering if you could bring any GA manager in to manage Care GA, who would it be? What do you, how do you rate yourselves as sport managers? Because you're both obviously have dabbled in it. And then who's the best and worst coach you've had and why?
Oh, fuck. We'll be here for next year.
If we couldn't name who the prick and worst life was, we can't name our bad managers. Some very, very good points you raised there, Maura, on the list. I would agree with all them on the getting the fighter to take a moment. Most of the time, if something's going wrong, you probably know yourself what's going wrong.
Mm.
And you just need to calm down and see it. And then have an expert saying, just a small change could make a big difference. And this year, I was only saying it to you recently, I was playing...
Science for dancing out of his head.
We'll get to that. I was playing in the forwards this year in a game, and one of our selectors ran in and he grabbed me and he was so worked up. And then he said something and ran away. And I had to say it to him afterwards. I was like, I couldn't understand a word you said. He ran in and he grabbed me. And he was like, "What the fuck?" And I was like, "What? What?" It put me off my stride even worse.
You're trying to concentrate on what you were saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Managers have to be have to be prepared to treat people differently. I think a good manager will be like, some lads need to get bollocked out of it, and then other lads need an old ego massage from time to time. I'm certainly one of the latter. But I think managers do need to be like that. They need to have a good control of everybody's kind of personality and know how to treat people individually. But then as well, they have to be calm. So but they have to have the gear change that they can, let's say for half time, if I'm a manager, I get them in, I won't say anything for a couple of minutes. I let them get a drink of water. There's no point shouting at them straight away. And then I tell them a few things. And then I start to raise the ante. So you want them, first of all, you want them nice and relaxed so you can explain what you want them to do.
They're actually listening.
And they're actually listening. And then you can start with the motivational stuff once it's sunk in what they have to do or what they're doing wrong. And you wrong the rights. And then you can start bringing back up the intensity. So by the time they're going to feel, they want to chop heads. That's in about where I go. I've had terrible managers. I've had some managers who haven't talked to me, at all. I've had other managers then who let me away with too much, and then that's like, if you give me an inch, my God, I will take.
Their trust.
Yeah, yeah. So I need someone in the middle. If I could bring in a GA manager from anywhere into Care,
okay, for me. Hands down, it's Liam Sheedy.
Yeah, 100%.
We've experienced Liam Sheedy in several different ways. I don't know if I told you that. About 2010 when I was with the...
It's like you slept with Liam Sheedy.
Yeah.
No.
I have relations.
More, my dream diary is for the extra podcast. Told you that. And we were going around the schools in 2010.
Oh, yeah.
And we were all outside having the crack, me and a few of the players. And sure, there was stories going on about nights out and all this stuff. You know what I mean? And then someone stuck their head out the window... Boys, Liam Monsey. Everyone changed gear, went silent, ran in.
Jenny Mac. Yeah, that's what
and
you
mean. We interviewed John Milan.
Yeah.
And he said that like his club, Liam Sheedy, came down and gave a talk. And Milan was like, oh, he'd have gone through the fucking wall by Darren Denfrin.
Yeah, we heard him giving a talk, actually.
One of the best things he said to us when we were doing a few bits with him, we were like, how do you keep, like, you have a training panel of 40 lads, like.
Yeah.
And there must be a few of them thinking, oh, I'm never going to get a
game. Never going to get a game. Pissed off here, like, yeah.
Yeah, I'm down the pecking order. How do you keep them all happy? And Liam Sheedy said, the dressing room is a radiator. You work so hard to get the temperature up, and it only takes one fucker to leave the heat out of the room.
Yeah.
Mm.
You need everyone.
Yeah. So that is, I would definitely go Liam Sheedy, but as well, there's something about Davy Fitz I think I would like. I like his just manicness. I think that would suit me down to the ground. Like, I need to be pumped up, but still, like, well, if I'm out the field, I need to be pumped up. If I'm in goal, I should be reading a book for the warm-up. Just staying cool. But, like, there's something about Davey. I don't know. He seems to get the best out of teams. You know, like, a lot of lads, like either love him or hate him, like, don't you?
Well, we asked the Wexford lads, and they said flat out they love him.
Yeah, so.
Mm. Well, the boys on the team love him. If you're a sub, you're probably shooting.
I think number 27 or 8 now. Probably don't. There's nobody loves a manager.
Although, I have to be honest, I got about halfway through reading Davey's book, and I stopped. He did a lot of giving out.
Ah, yeah, for sure. That's Dave, you know.
Oh, I wasn't in the form for it at the time. Like, yeah. He was falling out with a lot of people. But he gets the best out of teams, no doubt about it.
Yeah. But I don't know. The only thing I've read about Donal O'Cue or Davey was that in Donal O'Cusack's book, he said that him and Davey, they went to, I think it was like some All-Stars trip or something like that. And Davey thought he was going to be in goals for the whole match, and the manager was like, no, Davey, you'll be in goals for the first half, and then we'll put Donal Ogue in for the second half, and wasn't happy about that. And Donal Ogue made the comment that he walked off with a limp at half time, suggesting
the classic.
We're going to have to ask Davey to address that.
Brilliant.
Yeah, well, Donal Ogue did say that in his book, so it's out there. So yeah, but for that reason I wouldn't be the biggest fan of Davey, but I do like him, like, you know. But I'm just like, and he is a nice guy in that, but I like the calm type of manager. I don't like the hothead. I can't. I'd be like, leave the drama at the door now. It's like, you have to be,
I'd be a combination, man. You need a bit of cool calmness, but you also need, I think you want a manager, when he gives out, you're like, fucking Jesus, he lost the head today, rather than like, oh sure, he constantly loses the head, that lad. I think it means more if you just lose the head from time to time, like.
Authority in the dressing room is earned.
Yeah.
Just because you're the manager doesn't mean anyone's going to listen to you.
Yeah.
We've had managers talk where everyone is like, stay at this fucker.
Yeah.
He's with the fairies.
Yeah, 100%.
And then there's other lads. As you mentioned it, they're more someone who's organised and who has attention to detail and is consistent. If they have to be first to train, and everything has to be spot on. Well, I pick up one thing you said, Johnny.
Mm.
Half time comes.
Mm.
I think it looks unprofessional if the halftime comes and all the players go into huddle and then the managers go and have a talk, and then like 2 or 3 minutes later they come back and I'm like, right. I feel like once halftime comes, the manager should be pretty ready to... They should know what the issues are, like.
Yeah, like, I'm not saying the players get in a huddle and try and sort it out themselves. Like, if I was manager, I'd be like, right, boy, sit down there for a minute, get a drink of water, relax.
Yeah.
And then I, after like 60 seconds or a minute and a half, I'd be back. Like.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't be going off the other side of the field to talk to a lot of lads. Like.
That seemed to happen?
Yeah, I wouldn't be fucking talking to no one. But one man show. No, I'm only messing. Like,
it's tough.
That's the big thing I will say about management before we wrap this topic is a good manager will get good people around them and not pretend to know it all.
Yeah.
Because tell you, no one knows it all. And I'd be the first man to say that. I talk like I know it all. But like, 100%, you need to get a lad, like, he'd be like, I'm not great on game day. I'll get this lad. Now, he's very clever. I'll have him up to stand and he'll let me know that. And if you look at all the good management teams, they're always talking about the team that's around them. And that's the most important thing. Yeah, a good manager will breed more good managers.
100%.
Yeah.
It's tough, man.
Yeah. As opposed to being like, well, I know how to do it. I'm not going to tell anyone else. That's my little secret, you know.
I was telling you.
Share the knowledge.
Time I was over a team, people wanted me to make a change.
Yeah.
Swap lads around. My own father rang me across the field. Jesus, will you swap them two fuckers? He rang me during the first half. Swap them.
I'd have ate the phone.
Chairman of the club came across. Jesus Christ, will you swap them? And I said, no, that lad, they wanted me to put a big lad forward. And I was like, no, that lad loves the space. He loves being out there in the space. He needs to be out there. I eventually buckled, put him in full forward. First ball came in, he got a straight red.
There you go.
A buckle to the pressure, lad.
Yeah. You have to be strong, lad.
You have to be strong.
And I tell you, do you know what though, in the club scene, right, and particularly because of COVID as well, like I found this year managing, you can hear everything.
Yeah.
So if there's only 15 people at the match, yeah, you know what I mean, 15 supporters, or like when parents were allowed to go, because I was managing the 18s, parents were allowed.
Yeah.
Or I was coaching the 18s, and you can hear what everyone says. Whereas like, alright, in the heat of it, if there's a big crowd at match, you won't hear everything.
Yeah.
But like, and people will try and influence you, like your own people within the club be like, oh, why don't I do that?
Yeah. And then like, it's in your head.
I'd be like a dog then, like the fuck can anybody speak to me? But yeah, Maura, we think that's what makes a good manager. Yeah. And obviously, yeah, actually sure, just on managers, we've got a new coach in care this year. Yeah, yeah. John Lahey, friend of the podcast. Yeah.
The so, John Lahey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, class.
Yeah.
So well, I don't know if we're going to win it, but it's going to be some crack.
It's going to, yeah. We're just hoping we win something so we can go, ah, lay by.
Chip.
Yeah. Thanks, Maura. Enjoyed that one.
Cheers, lads.
Don't forget to rate, review, tell your friends about the Two Johnnies podcast. Use the hashtag Two Johnnies Pod. That's the number two. Obviously, subscribe if you haven't subscribed. Leave us a review. We haven't said that in a while. Leave us no review. Yeah, give us your feedback. We love it. And you can email podcast@thetwojohnnies.ie with any of your correspondence or topics you want to hear us talk about. And we're on Instagram @thetwojohnnies. Now, going to finish off the podcast as usual with our
Yurts and Dirts
of the week. Johnny, what have you got?
We talked about it earlier. I just in me dirt, whatever. Just a word of warning to, we have some young listeners, and in Ireland, you know, we're very lucky. We live in a sound country. There's other countries in the world where, like, you know, crime is off the charts and it's dangerous and all. And there seems to be a small bit of a trend of lads carrying knives and things in Ireland. And we're just saying, it does no good.
Yeah,
it's only going to lead to trouble. So if you're listen to this and you know somebody maybe who's, because they saw something on social media or the news, whatever, like they're thinking of starting to carry knives and all, we're like, lads, leave it home. Leave it off.
There's no good coming out of it.
No good coming out of it. And I know it's a big thing in the news in England.
Yeah.
Knife crime.
Yeah, 100%. Big news. Look, if you don't carry it, you're not going to use it.
Yeah. So. That's all. That's my dirt of the week.
Yeah. I don't really have a dirt of the week. I'm finding it hard for anything to even go right or wrong.
Do you have a yurt?
Yeah, my yurt of the week is, I think I gave it as yurt before, many, many moons back, but now it's even more readily available. So someone has uploaded Phoenix Nights, the Peter Kay show, to YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
So all the episodes are on YouTube. Now that I say it, it'll probably be taken down. It'll probably file a lawsuit. But if you go quick, it'll be up on YouTube.
Yeah.
Series 1, Series 2, Phoenix Nights. It's from, like, it's made years ago, but it is hilarious. I think it's one of the funniest shows ever made.
Peter Kay at his best.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's class.
My year of the week is, I don't know if this happens anywhere else in the country. Pardon me. But everyone in Tipperary whose name is Ryan, their family have a nickname.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Do you have this up in Meath, Maura?
There'd be different. Yeah, there's certain surnames, but not that many. There'd be a bit more diversity. We're not as inbred here as we are Tipperary.
Andy,
lovely, Andy. So basically, especially around West Tipperary, every family whose name is Ryan, they have a nickname after them. Like I spoke to a lad whose family had a weird one, and he was 70. And I said, have you always had it? And he said, yeah, I remember like my grandfather, they had it. And I said, where did you get it? No idea. There was one lad whose like grandfather was the manager in the creamery. And then they are all known as Ryan Manager. I swear to God, like there's a lot of American lad in the game once. He was Ryan Shiner. And the whole family were like Ryan Shiner. They'd probably hear themselves listen to this. And then I knew a woman.
I'd love to know where it all comes from.
And then I knew, we played a wedding of a woman. She was Ryan. She was Ryan Gat.
Okay.
And he was Ryan something
like
else.
Like the pint?
No, like her grandfather was from Gathabon in Kilkenny.
Okay, right.
And she was marrying another lad who was called Ryan. And everyone was calling them Ryan Squared.
Love it.
So I don't know if that happens anywhere else in the country, but it's big around West Mid Tipperary.
Yeah, let us know if it does happen, if you got some correspondence on it.
My makey uppy word of the week.
Christ.
I have a good one for you.
Go on.
Do you know if you were in a pub and you see a lad, he's like a harmless old small bitteen of a fool, bit too fond of the drop kind of a fella.
Okay, right, okay. I'm sure people can picture someone, yeah.
Yeah, there's a word for him in Irish. Ceolán. C-E-O-L-A for the N.
Right.
He's a bit of an old Ceolán, that fella.
Okay.
Fond of a drop, bit harmless, singing, acting a maggot, always in the pub.
Okay.
Bit of a Ceolán.
Let us know if anybody in the world uses that word.
Yeah, I got it off a few Mayo people have been sending it to me.
Right, okay.
There you go. So I think it's a good one.
That is a good one, yeah.
It's handy that he's been all cure on. That fella, like.
That fella. Yeah, I like that. That's it for this week. We forgot to do our sign off last week.
Jesus,
and people lost the fucking plot. So it's back by popular demand. Don't worry, we just forgot last week. So for me, Johnny Smacks.
For me, Johnny B.
For me, Maura.
We'll see you next week. Go on, mind yourselves. Look after each other. Bye bye.
Good luck.